Sylvia's Synergy Effect, brought to you by Synergy Home Care.
Getting back in the kitchen got mom back into life. After her stroke, she felt uncomfortable doing what she used to do. But with her Synergy caregiver, Emma, things changed. She got help at home and regained the confidence to get back to her old recipes. Now the hardest thing is getting mom to stop making her biscuits. So good.
We believe getting back to what you love can keep you moving forward. Find your Synergy Effect with Synergy Home Care.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Now at McDonald's, a McDouble is only $2.50. So you can get your gym gains on or just get lunch for only $2.50. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Today on The Grave Talks, is there any scientific proof of ghosts or the afterlife? In the recently released documentary, Ghosts and the Afterlife, a Scientific Study, they look into what happens after we die and if ghosts actually exist. If you missed part one, we talked about near-death experiences, so give that a listen. And today, we're going to talk about ghosts. I'm Carol Hughes, filling in for Tony Bruschi, and today on The Grave Talks, we're joined by the director, Steve Sayer, and Kelsey Bolin, the narrator of Ghosts in the Afterlife. Thank you both for being here today. Now, I'm fascinated by ghosts. Obviously, you both are as well. Now, Steve, is there tangible proof? Because so many of us have had a ghost experience in our lives. Kelsey, have you... Well, in fact, we talked about that in the last episode, so we'll get back to that one, too. You definitely have had an experience with a ghost.
Yes, ma'am.
Steve, I'm assuming you have, since you're behind this documentary, you and your brother. Is there any tangible, actual proof that ghosts exist?
Oh, yeah. Well, the information, as far as scientifically speaking, are the different studies that I mentioned in brief in the previous session, which is a study that was done at NASA with the centrifuge and loss of consciousness for the jet pilots, the projection of consciousness over thousands of miles through remote viewing, and the scientific creation of invisibility, which of course is directly associated with ghosts. And then, of course, when there's a full form capture on video, which we had during the ghost hunt, which is what Kelsey saw and no one else saw until we reviewed the footage in post-production. As far as those studies supporting the physical possibility of ghosts, that's pretty definitive. The absolute verification of their existence, of course, will probably be determined at another stage of scientific evolution. But certainly all of those events, and I can go into more detail in whichever one you please, all support the fact that ghosts can exist, because consciousness can exist outside the physical body and extend itself over thousands of miles. The jet pilots lost all the blood from their brains because it was sloshed literally to the exterior skull. So the internal brain no longer had any blood flow. So they literally had lost total physical consciousness, but they had complete and extended consciousness when they had physically lost consciousness under those circumstances. And then, of course, the scientific discovery of how to create invisibility, again, proves that you can have something standing right in front of you, yet it could not be visible, and you could see right through it.
Can you explain that a little bit, Steve, about the invisibility, kind of in layman's terms?
Yes. Well, what they were able to do is they were able to redirect the photons, the light waves coming from the source that they were going to make invisible, and bend it around that object and then have it continue on afterward. So the object in itself, when you're viewing it from the perspective where the invisibility had taken place, where they bent the light, you would see what was behind that object, but you wouldn't see the object itself. And that's how they ultimately created the appearance of invisibility.
Now, Kelsey, let's talk about your experience. We touched on it a little bit in part one, but you were doing an investigation. Had you ever done a paranormal investigation before this particular night?
No, ma'am. It was all brand new to me. In fact, prior to getting the role, I really didn't know anything about ghosts or near-death experiences, spirits, mediums, anything like that. So it kind of sparked my interest. But no, ma'am, it was a new experience for me. And it was one I won't forget, that's for sure.
So you went to a site of where a teenage boy, I believe, right? Who was a teenager, yes, was murdered. And had there been other people, had experiences there before? Is that why you chose chose the location? I'm assuming it wasn't you. So let's go there.
That is why. It's a well-known spot. And
can you share a little bit about that story, like the backstory to the what happened and to the boy?
Yes, ma'am. So he was a high school track star from California. He was brutally murdered, and his spirit is said to reside around where he was murdered. And multiple people have claimed to have seen his ghost. And that day we went out, I saw his ghost, his spirit, out of the corner of my eye, but nobody else did. And then in post-production, when Steve was editing the film, he saw it in the footage.
You can very much see it in the footage.
Yes, ma'am.
And then when you saw it, it actually looks like someone running, but it's kind of transparent, so it's not really a real person running.
Right. It's nothing that you can reach out and grab,
right,
per se.
So after you saw that, did you feel validated, or did you feel totally freaked out? Like,
I wasn't freaked out.
I actually saw that.
I wasn't freaked out, believe it or not. I was just kind of matter of fact about it.
And Steve, in the documentary, you have a lot of video of ghosts. There's a little girl doing homework and her papers go flying everywhere. How much footage did you have to go through to really find that you found footage that was real? You know, because anymore, I feel like a lot of things you see, like, is it real? Is it not real? What was your process in vetting those videos?
Well, we reviewed all the available footage that had been found. And then I investigated the background of that footage to make sure that it hadn't been debunked, to make sure that it wasn't something that had been simulated. And then, of course, just by common sense observations as to what was going on. And of course, since we didn't actually film those events, and we weren't the ones that actually were present at the time, we, at the end of the film, we also mentioned that we cannot absolutely,
right,
vouch for these different videos, obviously, because we weren't there. But yes, they all seemed to be quite legitimate. And there were many that weren't. And that's where you do your research. You look back into the subject and the people involved, and you get in touch with different people to find out what the history is behind the clip. So that's pretty much how the process went.
And don't you think, too, there are so many people who've had experiences with unexplained activities. You know, there's a video of a woman sitting in what looks to be like kind of an empty cafeteria or something. I'm not totally sure what it was. There's lots of tables, and then you see a chair move and another chair move. And you see that, and it just, like, I had all the goosebumps when I watched that footage. I had seen that one before somewhere, and it just, and then everything, like, moves to the door. And it actually, I was kind of glad I watched it during the day, because yeah. I think I'd have been, you know, dreaming about that tonight, and I'd rather not. But did you find that, was it hard to find the footage, or did you find also a lot of easily debunked footage as well?
Right. I found, I'd say at least 100. I went through at least 100 clips, and some looked very, very legitimate. But then when I looked into the technical and historical aspects of the clip, I realized it had, you know, wasn't worthy of including in the film because of certain aspects of the history or the technical aspects of what appeared to be unacceptable for, you know, the footage that had been presented to me. So yeah, I went through about 100. There was one that was absolutely, you were mentioning how the one clip could potentially cause people to be frightened or have nightmares. There was one that was so frightening and disconcerting and quite real that my brother, who served as the executive producer on the project, just insisted that it not be used. So that it's not in the documentary, and it was by far and away the most disturbing, which is why he didn't want the documentary to be disturbing to that degree.
Okay, so now I have to ask, can you describe what that one was?
It was a ghost of a doctor in a hospital that had just been haunting the hospital. It was a student hospital, and one of the students killed his professor, and this ghost kept frequenting the hospital. And at one point, one of the other students at the facility just was having a videotape and moving from room to room, and happened to run into it because it was a well-known manifestation at this particular hospital.
Okay, it was in, hopefully it isn't where I live.
Yeah, no, it was in a different country.
But my luck, I'd go to the hospital and be great. I'm at that hospital with that doctor. Just yeah,
there probably are doctors that are floating around at some of these hospitals.
Now, yeah. You also talked to mediums in the documentary. And I am always fascinated by mediums. And, you know, I've been told, and I've had some experiences in my own life of how did you know that? You know, that kind of unexplained, some people are just able to know, I think. Because, and I can't think of the guy's name you talked to, Kelsey.
James Von Prague, maybe?
Yes, that's him. That's him. Because I'm very familiar with him. That was an interesting conversation. So how, like, with someone without a lot of background in the paranormal and spiritual, and, you know, maybe you've gone to psychics before, I don't know that. But to sit down with him had to have been a very interesting conversation for you.
It was. You can just tell when you're in his presence that he is just a very intuitive person. And a few of the things that he predicted off the record have materialized.
Can you share? Because I think he's asked you about your personal life, didn't he?
Yes.
Can we talk about that?
Yes. He said that I wasn't with my forever person at the time, and I would have a really bad relationship after that, and then I would marry the next guy I dated, which is exactly what happened.
You're kidding me.
No. Nope.
So when you sit down with somebody like that and you think you're in a solid relationship, and then someone like him tells you that you're not, how did you feel after that when you left? Like when you go out, you know, when you get together with your boyfriend, like,
well,
did
I was
you
just
tell
kind
him?
Of skeptical. To be honest, I was skeptical. So I didn't really think much of it at the time.
But that actually happened.
Yes, ma'am.
And I think it's interesting too, like for someone like him, he shares a story in there about Cher. Like, he's friends with her mother. And Sonny came through to him, which I thought was real interesting.
It is. Like, it is. And also, he knew, he ran into Eva Longoria and knew that she was going to get her Desperate Housewives role that was going to change her life.
And it did kind of change her life, too.
Yes, ma'am.
It's very interesting. Did you, before you talked to him, had you ever talked to a psychic, a medium before?
I had not.
So that was kind of a really good experience for you, I would think.
It was. My
the
view
first was, one you talked to him of all I people.
Historically, my view has always just been kind of, I really don't want to know. just let it play out how it will. I wouldn't want to find out something that would give me a lot of anxiety. So I had never pursued a psychic or a medium or anything, but it was a really interesting, memorable experience talking to him. He's a really nice guy.
Now, Steve, what are your experiences with someone like that? And is there any way to scientifically, because anecdotally, it's not really anecdotally with Kelsey, because that happened. He told you something that actually happened later. So is there a way to kind of prove that outside of how somebody's able to do that?
Yeah, well, scientifically, and we didn't go into any studies in that regard, but they certainly exist. The way to prove it would be using the scientific method, and a lot of people are confused of what the scientific method is. There's a lot of PhDs that are clueless about the scientific method simply because they're in the social sciences versus the actual sciences. But really what you do would be similar to James telling Kelsey, this is what's going to happen, and it happens. Right, that's one event. And then you would have James then read, let's say, another 10 people, maybe even 50 if he had the time to do it. And then you would determine whether or not those events actually take place out of those 10 or 20 or 50 people. That would be the scientific method. Because as you say, you're looking into the future. Sometimes when a psychic's looking into the past, you wonder, well, he could have accessed that information. There's certain situations where it would be absolutely impossible, but nobody knows that except for the subject and the psychic themselves, for the most part, or a combination thereof.
I think what is really interesting about this documentary is that you do take, listen to part one, more about near-death experiences, but you do look at scientifically how it can work and how it can be explained. And a lot of times you don't look at it, not you, but a lot of shows and podcasts and different things don't really look at the scientific side of it. So I thought that was really interesting. What actually kind of prompted you to bring all these things together? Like, let's explore this, but let's explore the science of it.
Yeah, that was the most important aspect of it as far as Garrett was concerned and as far as I was concerned as well, is to make it as scientifically valid as humanly possible. And I think some people get confused. Another ask, because of the scientific discussion, some people just can't assimilate it. They don't understand it. And that might frustrate some people. That may be why some people didn't like her dress, for all I know.
which is so stupid. What does that have to do with anything?
I think you have way too much time on their hands.
Right.
Yeah. Oh. But that's it. Basically, that was the most important aspect of it. And then the fact that E equals MC squared, you know, has a very significant flaw in it, because photons don't have mass. So how can energy equals mass times the speed of light squared, et cetera? So you have different. I remember one person I know. We used to have a great deal more discussion of science in the in the film, honestly, and we had to take a lot of it out because people were saying it was too much to digest.
They couldn't process it.
Yeah, they couldn't. And I heard it over and over and over and over. So they still exist. And I wanted to include those, and we inevitably will in the future release the DVD in the extra section. That would be very interesting for people, because those, then it would be okay. They're watching segments, but too much. information, especially when it's totally new to people. They can completely overlook it and not even know that they've heard it, or they can just simply be frustrated because they don't understand it.
Right.
So we had to cut back on certain scientific discussions that still exist, and they're still there and will be presented at some point in a future DVD.
You could have just gone the one route. Here's things that have happened. But instead, you brought in doctors. And these are all like actual medical doctors, PhDs. You know, and one thing I thought was interesting, too, is that when you talk about life after death experiences and things that happen in hospitals, you have doctors that are also talking about these experiences from their perspective. Can you add a little bit about the doctors you had on the film?
Oh, yes. Well, is Dr. Norm Shealy, who is a neurologist. He was also the founder of holistic medicine. So he's very well credentialed. He's an MD and PhD. And he's had, of course, innumerable experiences with his patients. Then you have Dr. Moody, of course. He's also a medical doctor. And he was the one who wrote the very well-known and best-selling, New York Times best-selling book, Life After Life. And he's been studying this subject since the 1970s. I believe his book was initially published in 1976. And then we have Dr. Rose, who's a he's a PhD, and he's the one who handled the questions regarding the world religions and how they perceived life after death, and how that is associated with the scientific reality. So his primary purpose was his expertise in world religions. And then we also had a doctor who is, he's a Harvard physician, and he teaches at Harvard as well. And I've currently, his name escapes me at the moment. But he also discusses his experiences from as a medical doctor. This is Dr. Vernon Sylvest, who was a pathologist. So you have pathologists, you have an internist, you have a neurologist, you have the founder of holistic medicine, and it's Jeffrey Rediker. Dr. Jeffrey Rediker is one. He's a Harvard professor and researcher, and he's done a great deal of research into the phenomenon or the phenomena of life after death, as well as spiritual healing. So there's a very large group of people that are extremely well credentialed.
Do you think down the road you would do another film like this, or kind of explore things further? By jumping in the way you did, that I would imagine, I don't know how long it takes to put something like this together, but I would assume that it consumed your life for quite a while.
Yes, it did, simply because you can't just go to the library and look this information up. This is like a watershed study in a way. It's never really been done at all. If you look at any of the afterlife documentaries, they pretty much stick to the narrative. You know, and then, of course, you also see a lot of these programs on television, the Ghost Hunters. I don't know if that's a program, but the Ghost Hunters in general, I think there's three or four programs. But they walk in and then they go, whoa, something just goosed me. Or did you hear that? You know, I mean, but nothing's actually happening except, you know, they're saying that it happens, but the audience can't experience it. And if something suddenly flies across the screen, nobody can be sure that it wasn't one of the grips that threw something
right
across. There's cameras everywhere. There's crew everywhere. So to me, I wanted to avoid that in its entirety. And the only reason we did the ghost hunt, at first I thought we had nothing, because then there was, you know, some people in the production that said, well, let's just create something like they do on these ghost hunter movies. I said, but then that would be completely contradicting the whole purpose of the documentary. And I thought we had nothing. We spent 2 days of filming out in the woods and, you know, desperately wanted to have something. And I thought we had absolutely nothing until I saw it in post.
Well, do you know how long, you know, people have gone out doing paranormal investigations and never get anything like that. And you guys went out and got something like that.
Yeah. And the other point is they're often running around with Geiger counters and thermometers, et cetera. I'm not saying that there may not be some validity to using these devices. However, there may be zero validity to using those devices. I don't think that a ghostly image or a ghostly manifestation would particularly give off a physical temperature in this dimension, as far as we understand it, through heating of mercury or any other current method for determining the temperatures of various different objects, or also the different electronic disturbances that might or may not take place, et cetera. All these things may or may not help. We had devices that we had downloaded and we were using. Well, it was interesting. Now that we're talking about ghosts, I should bring that up because it's something we didn't discuss in the last segment. When we were approaching a certain area where the individual who had been murdered, he was also completely dismembered, the head, the arms, the legs. And when we're going toward an area where there was the individual's head was found, the dog wouldn't go any further and just whimpered and pulled back and wouldn't continue moving forward. And then that's when the little EVP sensor on one of the ghost hunter's cell phone went off. And then that's also immediately thereafter is when Kelsey saw something moving across the field. So it is interesting that all those events did take place.
And you can see the dog. The dog planted his feet. Like the dog was not moving.
He didn't want to go any further. That was it.
After what Kelsey saw, I don't really blame him.
Yeah. It was something that he had never seen before, I would imagine.
And Kelsey, real quick, when you took the job as narrating this film, did you really think you would get as involved with it as you did? Did you just think you would show up, read some lines, go home? But instead, I mean, I would think that it was a really fascinating experience for you.
It was, and it's still continuing to be. Being on all these podcasts and doing our little media tour has been a great experience as well. This was actually filmed quite a few years ago, and I have since moved to Texas, where I'm from. And so when I found out that it had secured a distribution deal, I was shocked. You know, I knew it was great material, so I really wasn't shocked in that sense, but I was surprised all these years later that it did get picked up. And it's just been great.
And did it kind of change your outlook on the topics?
Oh, most definitely. When we were in the heat of filming, I was really interested in all of it. And I would go to editing sessions, and I'd of course travel to interview people, and it was really eye-opening.
And it sounds kind of like fun and scary.
It was fun. It was
scary,
fun.
All at the same time. And Steve, yes. I watched this on Amazon, and if someone has not listened to part one of this, please do. I find it fascinating. Where else can they find the documentary?
I'd say the best three sites to remember, because I know how difficult when I'm listening to a program. Amazon, as you mentioned, if they have an Amazon account. If they don't have an Amazon account, I would refer them to voodoo.com, which is a Warner Brothers company, Universal and Warners. And it's very easy to use. That's why I say Voodoo, VUDU.com. And then Vimeo.com. Vimeo has its own VOD platform. It's not just like, and so does YouTube now, YouTube movies. So, but however, I'd say Amazon, Voodoo, and Vimeo. And if they're hearing this program in other countries, Vimeo has the availability to see the film in every country around the globe.
Well, you need to check it out. It's Ghosts and the Afterlife, a scientific investigation. We've been talking with director Steve Sayer, host Kelsey Bolin. Thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate you guys. And if you'd like to access all of our episodes, including the archive and advanced episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts, and you can try it for 3 days absolutely free. or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks to get signed up for absolutely everything ad-free there. For all of us at The Grave Talks, I'm Carol Hughes. Thanks for listening.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know. I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Lots of places can accidentally expose you to identity theft. Doctor's offices, online retailers, insurance companies, the list goes on. Thankfully, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. LifeLock keeps an eye on your personal information, credit applications, finances, and more. And if they find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, they alert you right away. All through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Even better, alerts are automatically activated the moment you become a LifeLock member. No extra work on your part. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Don't wait. Join LifeLock now. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.